You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 2nd of June 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we've been hearing a lot about so-called Tulsa race riots in the news recently, and Joe Biden went there yesterday and he said that the reasons why black entrepreneurs don't succeed is because they don't have attorneys there to speak for them, as if white entrepreneurs just get given attorneys to speak for them. He said to even up these discrepancies, these differences between blacks and whites, he's going to import black people into white communities and do what he can to help out these black businesses. Why doesn't he just help out all businesses? But it seems that there's been quite a few untruths told about these Tulsa race riots. I've seen a few debunkings of it on Twitter, and I've got one here in particular that comes from Big League Politics. The 100-year anniversary of the Tulsa riots, which occurred after a black community in Oklahoma rallied behind an accused rapist. Does that sound familiar? Has prompted a tremendous amount of revisionism from far-left activists hoping to stoke more Black Lives Matter terror in pursuit of their goals to overthrow the Bill of Rights and the US Constitution. And I guess maybe what they're referring to here could be the Jewish community rallying behind the Jewish rapist, which is when the Anti-Defamation League was first founded, or it could be referring to everybody getting behind George Floyd, who wasn't, I don't believe he was an accused rapist, but he had been found guilty of pointing a gun into a pregnant woman's belly and robbing her during a home invasion. We do see a lot of these black heroes, these black marchers that are held up as people to get behind and support, most of the time they are criminals, basically. In fact, I can't think of any one that Black Lives Matter have picked up and held up as a martyr that weren't. But perhaps Breonna Taylor, perhaps she hadn't actually done anything wrong, but she was sleeping with a drug dealer. Continuing here, the Marxist revisionists are constantly adding figures to the death toll, which has reached mythical levels with the help from the fake news media. Currently, graveyards are being dug up and the desecrated remains of the dead are being added to the death toll of the riot, even if there is no evidence connecting these dead folks to the riot. And they have just found 11 coffins, I think, and they're automatically adding them to the death toll. We will continue to take this investigation one step at a time, wherever it may lead, Tulsa Mayor G.T. Bynum said in a statement to CNN. The city of Tulsa has been searching since 2018, wasting money and resources to find nothing substantial. As a matter of fact, leftists have been searching for decades, exhuming graveyards and unearthing skeletal remains in order to diligently construct their narrative of fake oppression. Hollywood has also been crucial in the construction of this anti-white blood libel. The HBO series Watchmen was centered around the Tulsa riots, which were then used to justify a crusade by the show's protagonist to obliterate the constitutional rights of conservatives in the reviled program. The actual facts that occurred, according to the historical record, are far different than the picture that the leftists are attempting to paint through propaganda. Mark Carlson, who works as Director of Special Collections at the University of Tulsa's McFarlane Library, has studiously compiled research about the Tulsa riot, much of which was performed before the recent woke crackdown on all information contradicting the official agenda. So this is somebody who is qualified to talk about this, the Director of the Special Collections at the University of Tulsa's McFarlane Library. He explains in his timeline of events that blacks had organized to defend the accused rapist Dick Rowland against a possible lynch mob. And what had actually happened there, there was a white girl and she was in an elevator and she had seen that this black guy was looking around to make sure that there was nobody else there. And then he tried to sexually assault her in this elevator. That's actually what had happened there. So she accused him of trying to assault her. I'm not sure he was actually able to rape her. I think maybe she had actually fought him off, but he had definitely been accused of this. A confrontation happened outside of the courthouse after Rowland was apprehended by police, with a group of armed blacks standing off against a group of armed whites. The blacks initiated the violence, with a white person being shot by a black assailant, according to many first-hand witnesses. And this is when the violence started spiraling out of control. Eventually, the National Guard needed to be brought in to stop the riots. Claims that the area was bombed by airplanes have been dismissed as conspiracy theories due to no evidence backing up that claim. No Black Wall Street ever existed in the area either, as that is yet another fabrication. 24 blacks and 12 whites died in the riots. The alleged rapist Rowland was eventually cleared of charges and went unharmed by any whites, demonstrating that there was never any extrajudicial lynch mob of whites out to get Rowland. The Tulsa Blood Libel, in conjunction with Marxist endeavors like the 1619 Project, are being pushed nationally to create a new pseudo-history that will justify mass riots and eventually the brutal murder of whites. This is what has occurred already in countries such as South Africa, which has been celebrated as a social justice model by leftists after Soviet-affiliated terrorist Nelson Mandela took power and transformed the nation into the rape and murder capital of the world. And it's important that we point things out like this. You know, if we're going to say that what's going on here with these attacks on white people and trying to instill guilt into whites and stirring up blacks into hating whites, and we point out that this is likely to lead to violence, it's important that we come up with an example of where that has happened. And it has happened in South Africa. We have seen wholesale murder of white farmers over there that's being covered up. And we see over there that even though whites are now the tiny minority, they still have all these diversity quotas over there, and black people have still got to be employed over whites. You've got to have a certain number of black people at your firm before you can even employ a white person. So what we see there is that even when whites become the minority, they are still treated as if they are the majority. And we have seen absolutely brutal, brutal murders of white farmers over there. So we do have an example of what happens when black people become in a majority in a multicultural country. It is so much better to just have countries formed on the basis of ethnicity. I mean, what you have here in Tulsa, you had whites living in Tulsa and you had black people living in Tulsa. And what did it lead to? Well, it led to race riots. It led to people being killed. Obviously, they've massively inflated the figures today, but even if you go by these figures, that's 24 blacks were killed, 12 whites were killed. And if Tulsa hadn't been multicultural, none of this would have happened. And people might say, well, it was far more racist back then. They had the Jim Crow laws and the segregation and all the rest of it. Well, okay, if it was more racist back then, it's supposed to be less racist today. And yet we had all these riots last year, $5 billion worth of damage, untold numbers of people killed and injured during these riots. And that's supposed to be in the post-racial America. It doesn't matter what programs you put in place to try and promote diversity, it is always going to be division. It's always going to lead to conflict. The best way to avoid the conflict, the best way to have a functioning society where people are happy and content and prosperous, is to have a society that is based along the lines of ethnicity. When you think about it, just about every war that has ever taken place in history has been caused by two different ethnicities fighting over one territory. And that's basically what you have happening in multicultural countries. With the way the Tulsa riots have been rewritten by Marxist propagandists and low IQ race hustlers, it probably won't be long before similar fantasies are hatched about areas like Ferguson, Baltimore, and Minneapolis. If the left is not turned back, students will be indoctrinated about how Black Lives Matter angels did everything they could to stop the violent white demons from burning those cities down before long. Truth is unable to survive when revisionists control the cultural levers of society. And I must admit, I hadn't actually thought about that, but that is a possible outcome that we could see in years to come. We could be told that these Black Lives Matter riots were actually caused by white people, because you had a similar thing happening here in Tulsa. The place was burned down, and what they try to do today is blame the white people for burning the place down. But what we see happening in Ferguson and in Baltimore and Minneapolis is that it's the blacks that burn the place down. I mean, we even had the father of Michael Brown saying "burn this bitch down" when he was talking about Ferguson. And we'll stay with big league politics for the next news story that I've got here, although it is being covered in quite a few different places. Princeton University's classics department is getting rid of its language requirement, meaning that classics majors will no longer need to learn Latin or ancient Greek to obtain their degree. So you no longer need to learn Latin to study Latin. You no longer need to learn Greek to study Greek. Why could this be? Well, of course, it's because they're blaming racism for the fact that there isn't much diversity on these courses. And they're saying that it's racist to expect black people to learn to read Greek to study the Greek classics. What they seem to be missing here is that nobody speaks Latin or Greek today. It's not a European language, is it? It's a language of antiquity. So Europeans have to study this language because they want to study the classics as well. There's no difference there. But if you're European or if you're black, it's an ancient language that is not spoken today. But that seems to have escaped their attention. A Princeton Alumni Weekly article reports that the curriculum changes were approved in April. Not only was the Latin or Greek requirement eliminated, so was the classics track, an advanced concentration that asked interested majors to demonstrate an intermediate proficiency in either language. So the chance to actually show that you are proficient in this and that you have studied hard in order to be able to understand these classics in the language they were written in, they just removed that entirely. I guess because there can't have been very many blacks that actually had a proficiency in this. If you imagine, this is studying classics that were written in Greek or Latin. To properly understand them, surely you would have to understand the original language and not just be reading translations. If people really want to understand the Bible, they have to understand Greek. You have to look these words up in a concordance and look at the original Greek and see what the different meanings of the word were so that you can look at the Bible verse to get a better understanding of it. And what they're saying here is, oh no, that's not necessary with studying the classics. You don't need to have an understanding of Latin or Greek. Undergraduate Studies Director and Classics Professor Josh Billings claimed that these eliminations would enrich the community's intellectual life and give more students an opportunity to become classics majors and, yes, address systemic racism. How is it going to enrich the community's intellectual life to dumb it down and have less people involved in the community that can actually speak these languages? So much of our civilization is based upon what the Greeks and what the Romans created for us. And to properly understand what they were talking about and what was going on at that time, you need to understand what these words mean. I mean, if you look at Latin, so much of medicine and biology still uses Latin because it can be broken down to give specific words for things. I mean, we use it in science all the time. Both of these languages were the languages of commerce. I mean, if you lived in France or Britain or Italy, you might have a different vernacular that you spoke, but everybody also spoke Greek or Latin. It was the way that the ancient world was connected up. The Undergraduate Studies Director and Classics Professor Josh Billings continued, "We think that having new perspectives in the field will make the field better. Having people who come in who might not have studied classics in high school and might not have had a previous exposure to Greek and Latin, we think that having those students in the department will make it a more vibrant intellectual community." So what is he saying there? He is saying people that don't actually know anything at all about the subject are going to enrich the knowledge that we have about this subject. I mean, it's totally contradictory, isn't it? How is it going to make the field better to have people involved in the field who know nothing at all about it and haven't even studied it at high school before? Billings added that his department was discussing the changes before Princeton president Chris Eisgruber announced the university's commitment to address systemic racism, but the discussions were given new urgency by last summer's race riots. And this is what everything boils down to today. Whenever you read about these changes that they're making, they all go back to these riots that we had last year, as if this is a good thing to be dumbing everything down and making it so that you can have people that don't know anything about the subject that are involved in the subject. I mean, we're even seeing calls now to get 50% of an Air Force black and to have 50% of the Air Force pilots black. And the only way that they can do that is with a diversity quota. And of course, with pilots, you want the brightest, most intelligent people there. And if you have a diversity quota, instead of having the brightest and most intelligent people there, you're going to have people there just simply because of what race they are. And that could lead to some really seriously dangerous accidents. You think that you've got a pilot up there who is piloting a plane with hundreds of people, and they're not there because they're the very best person for the job. They're only there because they're black. And you've got the same situation happening here now. You've got people that are going to be on these university courses, and the only reason why they're there is because they're black and they're not actually up to the standards required for the course. I mean, this is basically admitting that black people aren't up to the same standards as white in being able to understand Latin and Greek, isn't it? I mean, really, you could say that this is demeaning to black people to say this, that the only way that they can get black people involved in studies of the classics is to make it so that they don't actually have to know anything about the classics. Despite the changes, the report notes that students are still encouraged to take either language if it is relevant to their interests in the department, and that the breadth of offerings remains the same. Well, of course it's relevant to their interest. It's got to be relevant to actually understand the language of the books that you're studying. Three Princeton alumni expressed their disagreement with the decision to eliminate the classics language requirements writing brief letters to the Princeton Alumni Weekly in response to its article. Eliminating the language requirement is a deterioration of rigour rather than an improvement, wrote Stephen William Foster. It undermines Princeton's mission as a standard bearer of excellence in scholarly endeavour. Shame on the faculty for its short-sightedness. Classics Light would be a good description of this major, but perhaps Classical Civilization would do in order to distinguish the classics majors who are literate in both Greek and Latin, said Mark Davies. And that's a good point that he's making there. They should really give it a different name. They should give the course a different name to differentiate between the people that have passed a course where you don't need to learn Greek and Latin and the people that have passed a course where you did have to learn Greek and Latin. But of course, that would mean discrimination, wouldn't it? It would mean you're discriminating against the people that had done the course from now on. So they won't do that. A truly vibrant and intellectually honest community must always demand rigour and integrity in its self-examination, which in this case would require acknowledging, however heartbreaking it might be, that the classics department is no longer able to attract the intellectual horsepower that it once did, and that it is dumbing down its curriculum, in keeping with the current tastes of undergraduates, said J. David Garman. And he's dancing around the issue, really, here, isn't he? He's pretending that it's just the tastes of the general public are not interested in learning Greek and Latin. But it's not that. It's that blacks have difficulty with learning Greek and Latin, and they want to get more diversity on these courses. I wonder whether the Chinese have a problem with learning Greek or Latin. And when you consider the Chinese language is very, very different to European languages. He continues, evading a clear statement of this difficult reality is a departure from the values of integrity and honesty that are the bedrock of any intellectual endeavour and is a disservice to the community of scholars who dedicate their lives to the pursuit of truth. You can also add to that that the pursuit of excellence, because this is no longer about the pursuit of excellence, is it? It's just about the pursuit of diversity for diversity's sake. And the final news story that I have here today also concerns this dumbing down of the standards so that more diversity can be included. Home Secretary Priti Patel has slammed Metropolitan Police Chief Dame Cressida Dick after she called for a form of positive discrimination in recruitment. Dame Cressida sparked fury after she called for a law change to let the force favour ethnic minority candidates over their equally qualified white applicants. And Priti Patel is always giving out contrary signals, isn't it? On the one hand, she's pushing for diversity training, mandatory diversity training in government. And then on the other hand, here she is supposedly slamming the Metropolitan Police Chief for wanting to discriminate against whites. I mean, it really does seem that Priti Patel is, it just goes with whichever way the wind is blowing, apart from when it comes down to immigration, where she claims that she is hard on immigration on the one hand, but then on the other hand, she introduces a points system. She opens it up to anyone from Hong Kong who wants to come to Britain, and she's just opened it up to all the Afghan interpreters if they want to come to Britain as well. Britain's most senior police officer made the plea after emphasising that police forces must reflect the community that they serve. Well, if that is true, then why don't we just have white police forces in the white areas and black police forces in the black areas? What they're actually saying is that we must have at least 15% black people in every police force in the country. Even when you've got parts of the country that are 99.9% white, they're still trying to import blacks into that area. But then when they talk about these areas in London that are majority black, then she wants to have loads more black people there. I mean, again, this really shows that ethno-nationalism is the natural way to be. She's saying a police force must reflect the community that they serve. And that can only be because there are differences between the races and you want to be policed by your own people, because then you know that there is no discrimination. everything that we do, if we're going to pursue multiculturalism, goes against nature. It goes against the instincts. And what she's actually doing here, Dame Cressida, is confirming that the ethno-nationalists are right. We do want to be with people of our own kind. The Met is made up of 18% black and ethnic minority officers, but is aiming to increase this to 40%, the same proportion of black and ethnic minorities in London. But of course, they're going to have a problem with that. Number one, because of the standard of education, and number two, because the number of them that actually have criminal records. And what they've done is they've said, well, having a criminal record shouldn't actually bar you from joining the police. And I'm not joking there. They have actually done that in London. They have allowed criminals to join the police force in their drive to get more blacks in there, but they're still only able to get 18% of the police force black. And do they really think that there's going to be less crime if they have more black police officers? I think the only way to get less crime is if you actually had just specifically black areas and specifically white areas. I think the very fact that an area is multicultural is likely to increase the tensions in that area. Yes, there would still be more crime if you had a purely black area, because blacks are more likely to commit crime. But you would not have the tension in that area that arises from multiculturalism adding to that potential for crime. I think that's the reason why these multicultural areas are more violent than just areas that are simply black. A Home Office source today said it is fair to say positive discrimination is illegal for a reason. The source stressed lawful positive action could be taken, but there was no need for positive discrimination to increase the diversity of the police. And this is Priti Patel's response. All it really says is that there is a Home Office source that is saying this. I haven't actually seen Priti Patel standing up and saying this is anti-white and we mustn't have this discrimination against whites. But the Daily Mail here are keen to portray Priti Patel as a patriotic right-wing nationalist type, of course. They point out that the Home Secretary had clashed with Met Assistant Commissioner Neil Basu previously on the issue. Dame Cressida's lobbying today also provoked outrage among Tory MPs, who branded the move discrimination against white people and called for her to focus on recruiting the best person for the job. Yes, but that's racist, isn't it? If you're just going to put the best person for the job there, it means that you're not going to have black people there because they're not going to be as qualified as the whites. So it's racist. And they're going to say that they're not as qualified as the whites because they faced systemic discrimination in the system. And there was this systemic racism at school because they didn't have black teachers, so they didn't get the qualifications. And that's why they're not qualified to be the best person for the job. I mean, it's all very well, this Tory MP saying that they should get the best person for the job, but we're told by the left that that in itself is racist. A meritocracy is apparently racist because everybody should be looking out for race and making exceptions for blacks because they might have been on the receiving end of racism earlier in their life. Somebody might have called them a nasty name, a mean name. And that meant that they weren't able to study, and they just had to go out and commit crime, I guess. I mean, this is the sort of logic that is being presented to us. Dame Cressida's rallying call for positive discrimination, as reported by The Times, has been pushed forward by Mr. Basu, a vocal supporter of the force's need for diversity. Why don't they show that the more diversity that they have, the less crime there is? I mean, where is it that they can actually point to where there is more diversity and there is less crime, or there is more diversity and there are more crimes that are solved? I don't think they can. They just call for diversity for diversity's sake. Former Tory leader Ian Duncan Smith described the proposal as degrading and demanded those from ethnic communities be treated the same as everybody else. Tory MP Bob Blackman said positive discrimination was completely wrong and the police should recruit the best person for the job. And of course, that's what most people want, and that's what most people expect is going on. But That is not going on, is it? That's not what we see happening in the universities, and it's not what we see the head of the Metropolitan Police calling for here. Conservative MP Andrew Bridgen said he is more interested in officers who can enforce the law rather than meeting a quota. He added, "It is discriminatory the other way. I am very much of the opinion you have to have police who want the job. One volunteer is worth 10 pressed men, as they say. The whole thing is ridiculous. It's not realistic, and ultimately it is policing by consent in this country. The force should reflect the society that it is policing." See, again, he's admitting here that ethnicity is important. I mean, really, you want the whole of society to be made up of one ethnicity. Think how much better the policing would be then. Think how much better the consent would be to actually be policed by a member of your own extended family. He accused Dame Cressida of heading off into dangerous territory and added, "She should make sure the Met Police is attractive to people from all parts of the community and ensure there is no racism in the force." Mr. Blackman said people from all walks of life should be encouraged to apply for roles. He said, "You employ the best person for the job and you encourage people from all walks of life to come forward. But to then say you are going to positively discriminate for one set of people over another, you are saying to those people that they are inferior. I regard that as an insult to people of different minority communities. It is demeaning. It says you are not good enough to get there on your own merits." And this is the point that we make as nationalists. Nice to see that we have a Tory MP agreeing with us here. He said the Met needed to encourage people from different communities, but suggested that positive discrimination would just breed resentment among colleagues. Mr. Duncan Smith said, "Don't you want to get the best? It is a bit degrading, really, to be told the only way you get very good people from ethnic backgrounds is by accepting lower standards. Some 20,000 officers will be recruited in England and Wales by 2023, and the Met Police alone wants to bring 11,000 more employees into various job roles between now and 2025. It comes as London's crime rate rises dramatically. Killings involving a blade in the capital increased from 67 in 2018 to 86 in 2019, a rise of 28% in 12 months. But hang on a minute, shouldn't there be less knife attacks in London as they now have more blacks in the police? It seems that the more diversity there is in the police, the more the crime increases. And shouldn't this be about preventing crime? Out of 20,000, just 9,000 officers have so far been recruited into roles in the UK, and of these, 10.6% are from black and ethnic minorities. Do they really think that it's going to lower the crime rate to have more black police officers? I mean, what it means is that they won't be able to accuse the police of being racist. That's really what it boils down to. Dame Cressida now wants more legal scope to allow the force to choose black and ethnic minority applicants over their white peers. And really, that's what Dame Cressida Dick was put in that position for. I mean, she's always been extremely politically correct, and it is these police officers that are politically correct and extremely woke and social justice warrior types. They are the ones that get promoted to these leading roles. So what were they expecting her to do once she was in that role? Of course, she's going to advocate for more diversity, isn't she? And she will probably get it. They will probably find some way to bend the law and allow them to discriminate against whites. But it all helps to wake our white brothers up to what is going on here and how really it is us that are being discriminated against in our own country, rather than us discriminating against these ethnic minorities. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the nationalist community.